Good morning. I'm Pastor Todd Pratt, and it is just great to have you here in the service here in this room or online. We're blessed to have you. Now, you have not been, for those who have not been around for the last few days, we have been having prayer meetings here, and oh my, has it been good. And yeah, amen. And God has established something and launched something because of the prayers over the last 3 or 4 days. And we've been fasting and praying, believing for a breakthrough. And this is not just preachy rhetoric that you're supposed to say. We are actually standing on this and believing. We left last night and I turned to Tammy and I said, we're actually starting now. Emerge Church, listen to me. Emerge Church actually starts now. Believe that's from Jesus. Now, if you've never said hi to us before, and we're hearing hi's and we're getting comments and we're getting people that have actually come in with the contact form all over Canada, and we're very, very grateful for that. And if you have not said hi to us, would you just go to our website and emergechurch.ca, click the yellow contact button, or if you're on a smartphone, just go into the menu and then click the contact button. And there's the request form that you can see that's on the screen or on your screen. And fill it out. If you have a prayer request, please let us pray for you. And maybe there's a testimony or there's a rejoice. We've been inundated over the last number of days with testimonies of what God has already been doing in 2021. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's fantastic. Now, this is the last opportunity. The Soul Care course is starting Tuesday night. It's an 8-week course, and we've been getting fantastic response from people, but we have room for just a few more. So if you would like some more transformation in your life, Kruma was talking last night about not going around in circles anymore in our lives. And we're actually moving forward. We're not going around like the Israelites did for 40 years. If you feel like your life is going around in circles and you say, no, I want a linear line of movement, then this is the day and this is the course. And it's also a fantastic course for just our building us, equipping us as followers of Jesus Christ. 7 transformational principles for a healthy soul. It's 7 o'clock Tuesday night, this Tuesday. And if you'd like to register, you just simply go to todd@emergechurch.ca. And all of you have been doing that, so I'm very, very grateful for that. Todd, 2 D's, T-O-D-D, todd@emergechurch.ca, and say, yes, I'd like to be part of it. And if you'd like a book, we have 9 so far. We'll have 10 more for the following week, and they're $20 for the book. This declaration seems to have gotten more traction even this week. So let's declare it today. Let's speak it. We've been talking about blessings on our lives. Thursday night and Friday night, we were speaking blessings into our life. We receive blessings because we're speaking blessings. So I have a biblical worldview. My life is not led by opinion, but by every word that proceeds from God. I don't base my identity on what I do, but on who I am in Christ. I'm a deeply loved child of God, and nothing's going to change that. Every good thing I have is not based on what I deserve, but what my generous God delights to give. Decisions of life or death, they lay before me every single day. I choose life. God has great plans for me, and they come to pass as I continually allow Him to direct my path. And I share these truths with words and actions, giving others the exact same opportunity to life as I have been given. Somebody say amen. Fantastic. Isn't that good stuff? Yeah. Now, So excited about this morning. We're into City Gates Part 3. And I would probably venture to say it's going to be at least 5, 6, if not 7 parts. We just continue to get more and more downloads from Holy Spirit. And we're very grateful for that. I don't want to take a lot of time to review because it is archived in our YouTube channel. And the sermon series is called The City Gates. So you can watch number 1 and number 2 on the archived YouTube channel if you have not seen the previous ones. But very simply, we are looking at all the things God is calling us to be as a church. It isn't a daunting task. I'll tell you that right now. It isn't a daunting task. You say, oh, when you list 10 things that we're called to be as a church, and you say, oh, how can we do that? Well, it's impossible with us. But all things are possible with God. Oh, hallelujah. It's just simply obeying what the Spirit is saying, hearing it, obeying it. Last week, we said our very, 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 very first priority is to be a loving, nurturing house. Nothing is more important. Now, something that has struck me this week, I was again interrupted by God, and this will help us launch into the second mandate, which is the fish gate. And it is found in Matthew 26. So if you want to follow along with me on the screen, or if you want to go to Matthew 26, we're going to do a lot of Bible today. And this is a Bible study, and we're going to navigate, and you're going to be absolutely blessed. So simply turn to Matthew 26. We're going to look at a good percentage of the entire chapter. Let me give you a little bit of context before we push play. Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry here on earth. And he's challenging his team, which is his 12 disciples. He's saying, fellas, the end is going to be really, really hard. More than you'll ever know. More than you'll ever conceive. In fact, the next week is going to be agony. And fellas, I need you. I need you to be with me. In fact, even as he went off and he prayed, it says that he sweat drops of blood in personal agony because he was about to take the sins of the world. And he, see, that's probably the scripture right there. Hallelujah. Anyway, he, and the disciples were asleep. And he's saying, oh, please, please, would you be with me? And then he prophesies the horrendous things that are going to take place leading up to and including his execution. Now, we are in Matthew 26. We're reading 31 to 33 at the beginning. Now, tonight, Jesus says, tonight, all of you are going to desert me. I'm just telling you that. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. And Peter, oh, Peter, being just like Peter, he says, Jesus, even if everyone else deserts you, leaves you, abandons you, I won't. Gotta love Peter. We continue to read. Jesus said, Peter, I tell you the truth. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me. And Peter should have left it right there. But then Peter goes on being Peter. No way, Jesus. Even if I have to die for you, I will never deny you. And all the others, because he took the lead, all the others vowed the exact same thing. Oh, Might have to move. There we go. Fast forward to the fulfillment of what Jesus prophesied. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and this is just literally hours after that exchange. And a servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those that was with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. That's one. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he says. That's twice. Boy, it's being slow today. A little while later, some other bystanders came over to Peter and said, You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." And Jesus swore. Peter swore. We can edit that later, can't we? Thank you. Peter swore, "Oh my goodness, a curse on me if I'm lying. I tell you, I don't even know the man." That's three. Suddenly, Jesus' words flash through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And he went away and he wept bitterly. Church, feel the essence of that night. Feel the pain and the agony that was taking place at that moment. It was a divine moment, but it was a moment of pain and sorrow and suffering. Peter had completely blown it. When Jesus needed him the most, he let him down. Ever been there, church? When Jesus needed you to do something, you let him down. Ever been there, church, when you said you were going to do something and you didn't? Now, to add insult to injury, this isn't just a moral indiscretion like I got caught speeding or I didn't pay for my coffee as I went through the drive-thru or something. But he was caught renouncing the Savior and King of the world. He was caught renouncing his Savior and King. And what's worse is, he was caught by his Savior and King. That's tough. The life and times of Peter. He's one of the 12 men that chose to take this 3-year journey with Jesus. But as I've said here, and it's so true, I can certainly relate. Probably the most brash, outspoken of the crew of 12. Often did and said the wrong thing. Again, can you relate? Often did and said the wrong thing. He loved power words. Guilty. But they had no weight to them because he didn't follow through. Now, before we completely pillage the poor guy, could you just be reminded and maybe encouraged that no one else ever jumped out of a boat and walked on water. Come on. But this was very, very bad because it was something that Jesus knows actually severs our relationship and life-giving flow with God. For Jesus says, anyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. There is a great truth. And Peter has just done that. Church, this is not a place where we want to be held captive. Peter knows, and he is riddled with guilt. Again, church, have you ever been there? Or am I the only one? He was desperate for restitution. Now, what wouldn't have been effective is if Peter just, or if Jesus, I don't have a hard time with Peter and Jesus. If Jesus simply would have said, Peter, it's okay, I forgive you. That wouldn't have been enough because, again, it's just words. Peter needed more. And instead, and here's the whole message, but instead, Jesus meets Peter and gives him what he needs more than anything else, a test and a challenge. What does a test do?
Well, it helps you pass so you can go to the next grade.
Yes, but a test also is a test proving to yourself that you can do it. A test, whatever that be, is proving to ourselves that we can do it. Building that self-esteem that we need. For Peter had to shake off that destructive self-talk that he was now living in. This self-loathing and this self-hate talk, saying it over and over again in his mind, not being able to find relief. Because if you do love God, you're not going to deny him. So Peter knew that he was going to have to change. And to cement this truth in his heart, that he wasn't double-minded and he wasn't a hypocrite. He had to, in his own heart, know he is not a hypocrite. He's not double-minded. And then we move to the next part with very, very weak batteries. Now Peter, at the end, is reinstated. Thanks be to God. Because the beautiful thing is that we know the truth that if he wasn't reinstated, oh my, would there even be a book of Acts if Peter was not reinstated? And we now move to John 21, 14 to 17, if you want to go there or if you just want to read along with me. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? That's what literally it means. Peter, do you love me more than these other ones love me? And Peter replied, yes, I do. You know I love you. Peter, are you sure? Really? Well, if that's the case, then feed my lambs. Jesus, bring healing to this clicker. Bring power to this clicker. And everybody said, yeah. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. A third time, Jesus asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, by this time, Peter is very hurt that Jesus asked him a third time. He said, "Oh, come on, Jesus. Lord, you know everything." I like that. Lord, you know everything. Yes, he was hurt, but I think in the midst of this, maybe for the first time, again, there was greater revelation that he knew the divinity and the lordship of Jesus Christ, because he said, Lord, you know everything. See, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Jesus knew that Peter loved him, but the challenge was Peter needed to know that Peter loved him. Did you get that? The self-talk, the destructive self-talk had to be broken. Peter needed to know that he loved him. And then Jesus finally said, then if that's the case, then feed my sheep. I don't know if you've heard this message before in the sense of this next line or this next thought, but I certainly believe it to be true. And that is, I believe that he asked three times to counter that Peter denied him three times. Jesus wanted Peter to dislodge failure with truth. Did you hear that? Jesus needed Peter to dislodge personal failure with truth. And here is the whole message until we get to the last point. Jesus, I've asked you to heal this clicker. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your takeaway, and then we will close. In reinstating Peter's ministry, he could have said anything that he deemed, listen to me, he could have said anything that he deemed to be the definitive takeaway for Peter to know, to hold on to for the rest of his life, right? Here's the takeaway. This is what you need to know, Peter, as a takeaway for the rest of your life. It wasn't Peter, get more organized in ministry, although that's important. It wasn't Peter, come up with more strategies in ministry, although that is important. It wasn't even Peter, study homiletics more so you can preach better. Peter, the most important thing you need to do is love and nurture my followers and instruct them how to live. Number one importance, love and nurture my followers, just like we've been singing, just like we've been declaring, and instruct them on how to live. And you see it there. It landed in Peter's heart, and he was never the same. How do I know that? Let's keep reading. Maybe for the first time in his life, he realized, listen, maybe for the first time in his life, and he's been with Jesus for 3 years, journeying, following, walking with Jesus for 3 years. But maybe it was the very first time that he realized that he was a man in need of a Savior. Can you imagine? After 3 years of ministry, now he realizes that he's a man in need of a Savior. Now he finally realized that he was forgiven much, so he would love and forgive much. He had been forgiven much. Now he would forgive much and love much. Speaking to everyone here, speaking to all of us, do you know you've been forgiven much? Do you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? Because if you do, then that is the key to life. I am still a man in need of a Savior, as DC Talk used to sing. I now will love much and forgive much because I've been afforded such mercy, such grace. Come on. Peter had now learned his lesson. He wasn't distracted any longer by the misery of self-hate or pride. He was now ready for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and to be launched in his ministry and to become everything that he was supposed to be. It's that definitive time after you know who you are and know what you're not. You're still a person in need of a Savior. And you receive that forgiveness. You receive that grace. You receive that mercy. And then we say the scripture that we read last week. We say it one more time. Now understanding it in context. Peter has gone to hell and back. He has let down his friend, his king, and his Savior. But he has now been reinstated. And he has now been released, and he's been now released to go, and he's been changed by God. And now we read Acts 2, 42 to 47. Now watch this, it's going to make a lot more sense. Now because of the dark night of the soul of Peter, and that he's been transformed, and he's now been equipped and ready for God, now we read Acts 2, 42 to 47. And all of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and Peter was one of them. And trust me, the other ones were getting the same lesson from Jesus. And to devotion, sharing meals together, even the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They were real. This was real discipleship. This was following Jesus. They sold their properties and possessions and shared money with those who were in need. They worshiped together in the temple each and every day. Met in homes and had the Lord's Supper. And they shared their meals together with great joy and generosity. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And then what's that last verse again? And you're saying, I thought today you were going to talk about the fish gate. Oh yeah, I'm going to talk about the fish gate. And this is what happened when Peter had had his dark night of the soul and was transformed by God. This is now what happens. The power of God is so strong that people are changed, and each day the Lord added to the fellowship those that were being saved. It isn't by might. It isn't by power. It isn't by talent. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the Spirit is on those that are surrendered and yielded to him. Now, the fish gate. The fish gate. The fish gate. This is what we are, church. This is what we're becoming. A soul-winning house. The fish gate was the second gate. Very practically, it was called the fish gate because that's where the fishermen of Galilee would bring their catch in through the gate to be sold in the market. Fast forward to the New Testament. This is hundreds and hundreds of years before the New Testament, where they were restoring Jerusalem. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, and fishing is still one of the most common and most important industries in the world, in that known world. And Jesus calls out to fishermen, and listen to what he says as he recruits for the launch of his world-shaking ministry. I'm going to say that again. And Jesus calls out to fishermen, and listen to what he says as he recruits people to launch his world-shaking ministry. And we can have the worship team come back now. And we're reading this. He says, one day, this is again when he's recruiting. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon. This is all way, way, way before the end of his ministry where he came unhinged. But at the beginning of his ministry, listen, he was recruiting two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, and this is what I want you to get today. Remember, number one thing that we're called to is be a loving and nurturing home, loving and nurturing house, forgiving large because we have been forgiven large. And number two, I will show you, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. They left their nets immediately and at once followed him. The first thing he said to them, this is the first thing that he said to his disciples. We've already talked about what the last thing was that he said to his disciples. He said, I will show you how to influence people and to win them for me. Who is going to give you that ability? Who is going to coach you on how to do this? Jesus. In other words, he said, let me change you so you can become what people want. Ah, that's so good. That's it. Let me change you so you can become what people want. Being tried in the fire and coming out the other side as Peter was, emptied of self so Christ could fill him. That makes you contagious. Did you hear that today, church? Going through the fire of God, being changed by the fire of God so that you're now a willing, ready vessel to be used by him so that we can be an answer for the world. The key to winning people. Are you ready for the magic key on how to win people? Have something people want and be something people want to be. That, my friends, is the answer. We hold the treasure. As ambassadors of Jesus, being changed by Jesus, we now hold the keys and we hold the treasure and we hold the answer for the world. Be something people want. Be full of peace. Be steadfast. Be people of trust and confidence in their God. Be full of zeal. Just like Kruma talked about last night. Be a person of planning and purpose. Do what you say you're going to do. Don't just talk it, walk it. That's the key. And church, who are we becoming? We're becoming a humble, contrite, loving people. And our new persona as Christ-filled ambassadors whets people's appetite for Jesus. Christ-filled ambassadors of Jesus. Our new persona is Jesus. Our new persona is Jesus. We're giving him away. We're living it. We're walking it. We're talking it. And I'm telling you, people are going to come in from the droves because we're not hypocrites. Because we're not hypocrites. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand with me, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Great I am. Great I am. Isn't that good news? We're becoming what Jesus needs. So we're a contagious people, being something people want. Being something people want. Nobody wants somebody that's ornery or self-righteous or cantankerous or compromising or a hypocrite. But I'll tell you, as the fire of God comes and burns off our old nature, like we said last night, as the fire of God comes and burns off our old nature and leaves the shining light of Jesus, that's the only thing that's left. Oh my, we're going to shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Can I pray for all of you? Can I pray for all of you? That's our mandate, church. That's who we are, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to love, we're going to nurture, we're going to instruct, and we're going to be contagious because the fire of God has burned off us and left nothing but Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. Father, thank you that this is what you are and this is what you do. You've changed us. You've changed me. The fire of God is changing me. Somebody say that. The fire of God is changing me. Now say it like you believe it. The fire of God is changing me. The fire of God is changing me. I'm willing to be changed. I'm willing to have a new persona that is Christ living in me. So Father, grant that in your people. Come, Lord, in power. Come with your fire. And have your way in this church, in this emerging church that has started this week. In this emerging church that has started this week. Your first assignment, invite someone to church, invite someone to watch us online, and be really, really nice. Don't be a jerk. Be really nice. Somebody say amen. Amen. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Continue to be with us, Lord. Bless and blast us with your love and grace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Let's enjoy Jesus.